You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble here in Berea, live in the Dog Bowl. Jason Gibbs, the Galleria, producing our amazing show at 2:30 on Fridays. We always know what time it is. There is no kid today. So we got the teaser with the kid yesterday for the Thursday forecast, but it is now time for the Friday forecast.
Number one. Big Friday, guys. It's been a long week. Anybody else think that?
I'm ready for the weekend, and my weekend's crazier than my week is
going
to be.
Really? What do you got going on this weekend?
Fan Fest, bro.
I'll be at Fan Fest. Joe Hayden celebrity softball game later that night. It's a busy Saturday.
I got two soccer games in the morning. I got a baseball game, then Fan Fest, and then yeesh.
Well, stop laughing, but I have to go to Taylor Swift and Heinz Field tomorrow night.
Have fun.
It is what it is. Make the children happy.
They said Fan Fest.
Do it for the children.
Taylor Swift was good at the queue.
I heard that. I'm interested to see. I've seen a lot of different concerts in my time, and I don't know about this one.
You might need some earplugs for all those screaming 12-year-olds.
I might go stand in the beer line. I feel like the line won't be much of a line.
Yeah. Just overhear the concert while you're drinking your beer.
You betcha. I'll leave the lady with the kids. Question number one on this Friday, guys. Who will be the second leading scorer for your Cleveland Cavaliers on Sunday night?
I'm going to go with the Iman Shumpert on this one. I think there's a couple of answers that might seem a little more obvious, but I think there were opportunities there for Shumpert that he just didn't take advantage of. I think he had a lot of open looks, I thought, and he was kind of hesitant, passed them off. I think there's going to be, you know, you're in the finals now. He's going to get used to it. I think he is a key for this offense because he was who came up so big when JR was suspended, and he's had kind of these hot or cold nights where he takes a lot of shots or doesn't take. So I'm saying game two, he steps back up.
I was going to go Iman Shumpert, so I won't. So I'm going to go with the more obvious choice, and I'm going to go J.R. Smith. I think he's a streaky shooter. I think he got a feel for that arena, and I think now more so than ever, LeBron James is going to have that eye-to-eye conversation with him if Kyrie's unable to go and just go, dude, now is when I need you, and he'll step up.
I don't know, man. I don't think his injury is as bad as everybody thinks. I think he just retweaked it. But I think it's all in his head now. It's mental, and he's going to freak out every time he moves wrong or does something wrong, and I think that he's going to be done.
He looked so mentally cleansed yesterday. Like, it was like a fresh start.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I didn't see Kyrie Irving block a shot the entire regular season.
No.
And then he plays like that.
I mean, and that's for those people that are complaining about his minutes last night, 3 minutes earlier, he had the play of the game to stuff Curry right
down the drive.
to give the Cavs a chance to win it. I mean, I don't the whole minutes thing. The guy's playing well.
People complaining about the minutes in the finals. Like, when do you want these minutes to be used? Are we saving them for another finals run?
It's like timeouts in the NFL.
Saving
what are you
game
keeping
seven,
them for?
But you're getting swept.
Why are you keeping your timeouts? Question number two today, gentlemen. Toughest venue for an opposing team to play in from a football standpoint. Everybody talks about the Oracle and basketball being a tough place to play. Wilhelm as a player, and Andrew, you and your time in the SEC, toughest place for an opponent to play.
So we're going even beyond the NFL?
Yes, correct.
Oh, this is easy. It's LSU on a Saturday night. It is the loudest place any sport I've ever covered, and it's not even comparable. Even within the SEC, it's just a special type of drinking that those fans do to get excited for that game.
Up.
I mean, it's an all day party down there on a different level than any other SEC school I've been at. I think Saban and other coaches have joked that, you know, on the eye in the middle of the field, you can smell the bourbon from there on the field, and it's a rowdy environment, and I've seen good teams just look awful on that field when they get there.
I'm going to go I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you my college from my perspective, and then I'm going to give you my professional from my perspective as well. I'm going to go with Wisconsin. Crazy.
It is crazy.
For a lot of the same reasons that you just named, Andrew Gribble, but they're probably drinking a different sauce. but being, you know, batteries thrown at you It could be cold, the jump around, the fact that there's a 3-foot chain link fence behind your bench separating you from the fans, and they can just literally walk up to you. I've been beer's been thrown on our defensive huddle before, you know, by a crazy drunk fan. So I'm going to go with Wisconsin. The toughest place to play in the NFL, I felt from throughout my career, is Kansas City. And the reason why, and this would be a question for Dwayne Bowe, is you don't know what you're really going to, unless you're playing in September, you don't know what you're going to get. Could be raining, could be 30, could be 80. The field, by the time it's December, is spray painted dirt. So, you know, green dirt, basically, that they spray paint. So it's tough sledding. It's a very, very passionate fan base, a lot like the Cleveland Browns. And the weather always plays a factor. And also the key factor for us from the West Coast was playing in a central time zone. So for us, it was like kicking off at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I would agree. That central time zone, even East Coast to central time, is a little off
it
in
is.
Everything that you're doing.
Because of your the traditions and things that you do personally to get ready for a game,
yep,
have to be accelerated by an hour to get ready for game time.
Yeah. And not only that, but Kansas City might have the worst press box. I cannot tell you, 2 years ago we were there, and it was the biggest headache. It was the worst stadium to deal with. Everybody there thinks that they're a god, and that stadium is miserable.
I'm already dreading going
there in December.
My favorite thing about playing in Kansas City, and it's the only team in the NFL that does it this way, is as a road team, you have an opportunity to walk through the parents' tent, which is basically the parents of the Kansas City Chiefs players put on a meal, which is always barbecue for their boys, you know, for their players, Kansas City Chiefs, and they allow us as the visiting team to walk through and grab a plate. Was like the most amazing thing after a game, win or lose.
I love Kansas City, the city. The
yeah.
stadium it leaves, in my opinion, a lot to be desired.
As does many in the NFL.
Yeah. Number three, guys, a little horse racing. American Pharoah going for horse racing's coveted Triple Crown. Can American Pharoah actually win the Triple Crown tomorrow?
I know nothing about horse racing, so I'll just preface that by saying that. But I know this is a different race. It's longer.
It is. It's like a mile and a half.
Yeah. The one I saw the Belmont, or is this the Belmont or the Preakness?
Belmont.
Belmont. I saw the previous race. I'll go with that. And it seemed like he turned it on at the end. And so it seemed like he had a lot left in the tank with that one. So I'm gonna back American Pharoah just because I want to see a Triple Crown happen. I mean,
sure.
That'll keep me interested, and maybe I'll know more about horse racing when we talk about this next year.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you don't ever gone to the track to bet on the ponies?
I have not.
I'd rather keep it in
God,
my pocket.
Oh, God, it's so much fun.
Oh, come on.
It is.
It's a horse.
It's a lot of fun.
Just
man.
Like betting on NASCAR.
Come
One's
on, dude.
Gonna
it's
win,
like bet like a dollar.
Lose.
You bet like a dollar.
All right, whatever. Anyway, I was watching ESPN, and they talked about the trophy that exists that was created for a Triple Crown winner that has not been won in 37 years. So it's a trophy that has never been won, right? So it has no engraving at all other than, you know, Triple Crown winner and the three races. And for that reason, simply because you said yes, I'm going to go with the field. So I think American Pharoah will not, because history has proven otherwise as of recent.
Well, and the thing is, too, don't they, like, save certain owners, save a horse for this race?
Yes.
Like, they haven't used him all year, and he's coming out there with fresh legs. He's like the Iguodala to the LeBron
there
out
is.
There. You
there
know,
was a race that's only, I think, has raced four times. Never as a two-year-old.
Yeah, so the fresh odds legs. Are against, and I guess that's why it hasn't happened in 37 years.
Number four. Final one today is an easy one, guys. After a long week, call your shot. Cavs, Warriors, Sunday night, game two.
I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I
but
think...
But you're going to be Debbie.
Yeah, but I think the Cavs are going to play more competitively than we would maybe expect without potentially having Kyrie Irving in the lineup. So maybe they come back encouraged by how they played. But I just don't see Curry and Thompson producing as little as they did this past game. Especially, I think Kyrie's defense in last night's game was underrated. He played very well on Curry when he was on him. So I think the Cavs will play well. They might feel good about what their chances coming home against the Warriors, but I think the Warriors will go up 2-0.
Well, you know what? I'm the optimist. I'm going to call my shot to the T. Cavaliers 111, Warriors 106. And I think LeBron's going to shoot less than 30 shots, and those shots will be – those nine shots that he doesn't have to take are going to be, you know, split up between Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith, the two guys that we think are going to be the second leading scorers on this team. Dellavedova is going to play more quality minutes now that he understands what he's up against in Klay Thompson or Steph Curry. I believe that Kyrie has played defensively this year at a different level than other guys, but I think Iman Shumpert can do the same. I think that J.R. Smith can play inspired. It's just, are they bought in to do it on both ends? If the Cavaliers can both play defensively and score offensively, they can beat the Golden State Warriors in steal game two and 111-106.
It's not an impossible task.
No,
I mean, I think what we saw last night is that the Cavs are capable of playing good defense against this team.
Yes.
And I think they can make life difficult for Curry and Thompson. I thought Curry was very passive yesterday for the first part of the game. He had that little spurt there through the game. I think Dellavedova can give him problems defensively. It's just a matter of finding those other options on offense if Irving can't.
And the one other fix before we go to break here and wrap up and come back for our last segment is too many defensive breakdowns. You look at the Cavs had to work for most of their buckets. And then how many times was it an easy dunk, an easy layup for Draymond Green, Livingston, Harrison Barnes? You know, they probably had 10 points uncontested, and you can't have that against a team that can score the way they do.
Yeah. How about Irving last night having like 5 or 6 rebounds too? The guy was everywhere. He played. I don't think we can question the toughness at this point from what he brought.
I agree. Well, coming back after this break will be our last segment. Thank you so much. If you have any last minute, shots you want to call for Sunday, 216-578-0850, your reaction to game one, Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Forward.